Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Real Life with Rich and Christ. I've been getting inundated this week with a lot of stuff based on what I've been writing. I write on Facebook. I've been writing on Facebook for about 4 years. In fact, the 25th of February will be my four-year anniversary where I put up my first two-paragraph article, and I've written somewhere between, 700 and 800 writings, if you include all my articles, my book, and my statuses that I've put up over the last 4 years on Facebook. And recently, God has been directing me to something I believe he's been preparing me for the last 30-plus years, and that is to confront what Paul calls the different gospel. The different gospel is that does not include the grace of God. In fact, the different gospel is the gospel that includes the grace of God plus works that are of the law. And and Paul said it's no gospel at all. In fact, he said it's a perversion of the gospel. And over the last 30 years, through a lot of the deep teachers and all of the people that I read, in my growing up in Christ, are now, they're all gone. Watchman Nee, Andrew Murray, Hudson Taylor, A.W. Tozer, T. Austin Sparks, Norman Grubb, and so many more. And they had a different view of what real Christianity is. And that view that they had is what Paul calls the message of the cross. And the message of the cross, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved by it, it is the power of God. And what I see is happening today in the church, in Western Christianity, is that the leadership, so-called, have actually abandoned the message of the cross, because it's more important for them to put butts in seats than it is for them to be able to share the pure, unadulterated message of grace plus nothing. And, you know, there's a mixture of, and people don't know this, most people don't know it, I'm not real schooled on it, but I do know that there's a Heinz 57 gospel out there that's not the real thing. It's a combination of Catholicism, it's a combination of Greek philosophy, it's Constantine, it's a mishmash of things that have come up into our modern day and what we call the real gospel. And it has to do with seeing God separate from who we are. I call it the God up there. You know, it's no longer about a God up there. You know, it's no longer about looking to a majestic being who is separated from us. Is God majestic? Yes. Holy? Yes. Is God, you know, all of those things and so much more. But the truth is, just at the right time, the Bible says, Jesus showed up on the face of the earth. And Jesus showed up on the face of the earth to show us what real love is. Because what was going on up until that point was the law, the Ten Commandments that had turned into 10,000 laws, and stupid laws, and not not being able to rescue your animal on the Sabbath if it was stuck in a trap or something, Jesus talked about that. Just stupid laws that they added on and added on and added on. Kind of like our government, the original Constitution and all the amendments now that have just polluted it. Well, that's the way it was when Jesus showed up. And the Bible says just at the right time. And so Jesus showed up, and one day the disciples said, you know, show us the Father. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus came, and it said he is the image of the invisible. He is the image of the Father. And he came to show us that. He came to show us that we couldn't live by the works of the law. And Paul, in his Romans 7 struggle, where he says, the thing that I want to do, I can't do, and the thing that I don't want to do is the thing, very thing that I do, is the collision between grace and the law, right there. At the end of that crying out time of Paul's, he says, who will deliver me from the body of this death? And it goes on to say, and he goes on to say, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the reason that is because Paul went from seeing an external, separated God up there who he had to call on, because that's what his teaching had taught him from the time he was 8 years old. The Pharisees knew the first 5 books of the Bible back and forth. So Paul knew the letter of the law. He talks about it. He says he was perfect in the law. And he's giving his long laundry list of accomplishments. Where he finally concludes, he counts it all dung. He counts it all crap in comparison to the excellency of knowing Jesus Christ. And so Paul is struggling with this in Romans 7. And that is there for us. That Romans 7 struggle is there for us. This is God's love letter to his people. And so Paul is sharing in the sufferings right there of what we deal with as we transition from a gospel of grace plus law to the gospel of grace alone. And at the end of Paul's struggle, he writes these amazing words. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. That's what he does. That's the conclusion he comes to after his Romans 7 struggle, after dealing with the issue of sin. He comes to freedom. He comes to life. And it's one law that sets him free from another. That law is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We call it grace. Has made me free from the law of sin and death. We call that condemnation. He just got done talking about condemnation at the very beginning in the first verse. In the second verse, he calls condemnation the law of sin and death. He calls grace the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and that's what grace is. Grace is not just unmerited favor. Grace is not some kind of spiritual pixie dust that allows us to go on doing what we want to do and cover it up. It's not a cover-up. Grace is a life. Grace is a person. Grace, for the grace of God has appeared, who brings salvation to all men. It says in, I think it's in Titus, or it's in 2 Timothy, Paul saying that. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and to live right in this age. That's not a law that's instructing us. We can't go to the letter and find that. You cannot obey the letter of the law. It's impossible. It was never meant to be obeyed. The letter of the law was meant to point us to grace. The Ten Commandments God knew all along were all about grace. And the grace mixed with law, different gospel, is I'm saved by grace. But now that I'm saved by grace, watch me now, God. Look what I'm going to do for you. You can't do anything for God. We were never meant to do anything for God. That's tree of the knowledge of good and evil stuff. That's separation. That's division. That's looking to a far-off, distant, and impersonal God who looks like a grandfather in heaven. That picture that we've had in our minds of the grandfatherly, unapproachable, holy, and majestic God. That's not who God is. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Now look at Jesus. I was talking with a friend of mine last night on Facebook, and she put up a post about 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not vaunt itself. Love takes no record of wrong. Love, you know, the love chapter. We call it the love chapter. Well, replace that word love with Jesus, because that's who love is. Replace the Word of God as being the Bible with the Word of God who is living and active. Replace the Word of God with being the letter that kills with being the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. That's who the Word is. Replace the human limited versions of faith and hope and peace with the person who is faith and hope and peace. The centurion, when he saw Jesus, he didn't try to muster up a faith of his own. He saw the faith of Christ. He received that, and his servant was healed that same hour. And you know what Jesus said of that Roman enemy, the enemy of the chosen people of God? You talk about a dichotomy in Christ. He said, I have not seen such great faith, not even in the people of Israel. And the Pharisees were sitting there listening to him. And so this last week, I've had several people abandon me. People that I've known for a long time, they've walked out because they say that I'm mean and I'm divisive and I'm all of these things that are the opposite of what love is. But if you look at Jesus, and you look at 1 Corinthians 13, you will see that love is not mamby-pamby. You will see that love is not at ease in Zion. You will see that love is not glorying now in my own resurrection, now that I have it, the hell with everybody else. That's not love. No greater love has one man for another than to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus calls the ones who are laying down their life his friends. And if you're not laying down your life, you're an enemy of the cross, because your God is your belly. Read it. Your God is your center. You are still the center of your life, even if it's dressed up and it looks like the real thing. Satan did not come looking like a red beast with horns and a pitchfork. He came looking like the way and the truth and the life. That's what he comes today as. He comes as a gospel that causes us to walk in fear of the future and condemnation of the past, and to remain as infants. The other night, we were praying like we do every night, sometimes 2 and 3 hours, and that's not to say anything. That's not to be boasting in anything. That's just the way it is. Sometimes we spend 2 to 3 hours a night just seeking God for his body. And the other night we were praying, and my friend Joni had an encounter with her gardener's wife, and she shared with her this story of her son being deported to Mexico, and she hadn't seen him in 2 years. And last summer, Joni said to me, "You know, Rich, I don't know how you can just talk to anybody that you see about God without any fear or without any second guessing." Well, this lady who didn't know how to do that grabbed this woman's hand, and she prayed for her right there. And she shared that story with Linda and I the other night. And I was sick to my stomach. I wasn't feeling good. And I came back from the bathroom. This is real life, remember? I came back from the bathroom and sat down, and I was kind of feeling sorry for myself because I wasn't feeling very good. And then I heard, you know, the tail end of Joan telling Linda this story, and then she told it to me. And all of a sudden, the compassion that Joan was having towards this lady became my compassion. And I prayed. And when I prayed, God gave me, I went into another place, and God gave me a vision. There's no other way I can say it. And I'm not into visions and type and flesh, you know, spirit dressed up as flesh and all that. I'm not into any of that. Ask anybody that, you know, is on my Facebook, is my regular friends. I'm not into that at all. And I saw this room, and it was kind of like an old church building, an old church building like you'd see on Little House in the Prairie. And I saw this old room, and it had wooden floors, and it had all these cribs in it. All these cribs had babies in it. And all these babies had mothers, their mothers standing next to them looking at their babies. And they were all dressed pretty much the same way. And all of a sudden, they all just turned away from their babies, and they walked out the door. And all that was left in that room was a room full of cribs with infants in them. And God said to me, "What are these babies going to do on their own?" And then he said, "This is my church. My church is filled with infants, from the leadership down to the membership. They don't know who I am. They don't know who they are. And so who's going to teach them?" Philip was walking down the road one time in the Bible, and he came up with this Ethiopian eunuch, and he was in a chariot. And this guy was reading Isaiah, and Philip, God placed Philip at the right time, because that's what God does. God placed Philip there at the right time. And Philip just asked one question. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "How can I unless somebody teaches me?" And share with him what he was reading in Isaiah 53. And then the guy got saved, got baptized, and Philip was caught up in the Spirit and taken somewhere else. That's what the Bible says. How can they unless somebody teaches them? So for the naysayers who say I don't love, for the people that say I'm mean-spirited, for the people that say that I don't know God, the way that God has revealed to me, you tell me who's going to teach them the truth of the real gospel of Jesus Christ and the losing to gain message of the cross. Who's going to teach them that except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides to itself, for itself, it lives for itself, and that seed never gets to experience the brokenness that happens when it's planted in death, that falling apart time that it goes through, that Watchman Nee talks about, where he says you want death and resurrection within an hour of each other, but it's not going to happen that way. So God rolls death in on everything you call life. And he plants you in death in that dark, damp, isolated place. And that's where the new life is able to spring forth. It's the end of you and the beginning of Christ in you. That's the message that I preach. And if that's not love, well, then maybe you need to go and look at 1 Corinthians 13 again. This is love. There is no other love. I'm encouraging you to lay down your life today, to walk away from what you call your life, to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your life, to stop trying on the try and fail treadmill of performance-based, dead-letter Christianity that this culture continues to call the real thing. And I am here to expose, if it takes my last breath, if I lose everything that I own, I'm going deep down this rabbit hole where no man has gone before, by the grace of God. That's my only goal in life. And the deeper down this rabbit hole that I go, the fewer are coming, it seems, are coming with me, but the more unlimited God seems. The more unlimited God seems, because all the trappings of what I used to call my life are falling off. The further and further I go down that rabbit hole. And that room full of babies is going to have some adults, if Christ in me has anything to say about it. Because the alternative is that they perish under what they're going through right now. The foundations are going to be shaken. The wheat and the chaff are going to burn up. The house is going to be divided, and it is going to fall. And everything that people are trusting in this separated gospel of believing that God is distant from them, not knowing that he's in their mouth and in their heart, is going to rise to the top as the only truth. And so today, are you struggling? Are you losing everything? Are your kids going crazy and you don't know where they're at? Are you sick? Do you have a debilitating disease? Paul said, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in the things that pertain to my weakness so that the power of God may rest upon me. When John the Baptist baptized Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord showed up in the form of a dove. It rested on Jesus, and guess what? That dove never left. That's the Spirit of God. And right now, all you need to do is just release your life to him and receive his life right now as you are. He loves you exactly as you are. He couldn't love you anymore, and he'll never love you any less. Receive his life. Receive it. Because his life is the only life. He doesn't have a way, truth, and life. He is the way, truth, and life. And no man comes to him, comes to the Father, except through him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, God, for this awesome opportunity that you put before me. And I give you the praise and the glory, God. For anybody who hears this, Lord, I ask that you unstop their ears, that you open their eyes, let the scales fall from their eyes, let them just leave behind, like the rich young ruler, sell everything and follow Christ as he is. Guys, I'm giving away my book titled Rich in Christ. It's a 31-day devotional. If you contact me on my Facebook page, Rich Novek, N-O-V-E-K, just leave a return address, a mailing address. I'll send it to you free of charge, postage paid. It's not an e-book or a mini-book or any of that. It's a real book, 31 125 pages, 31 days. This is real life with Rich and Christ. This is not canned or planned. It's exactly what God wanted to say today. I hope you receive it. I hope you receive it in Jesus' name. God bless.